Well, good morning. This is your last lesson of this study, and I know that God has suited it just perfectly to you. So I'm going to start with a little video. Okay, you get it right. Well, a few weeks ago, I was teaching musical drama to a bunch of first graders. I just love to teach first grade music and drama. And my lesson plan was going to be a little skit, and there were 21 first graders, and I had it figured out that there would be 7 actors and 7 musicians and 7 in the audience. And I had enough time in the time frame to do it 3 times so everybody would get to do it at least 1 time. And so nobody'd be jealous. You know how first graders are. So the children were sitting all crisscrossed on the colored carpet with their hands in their laps and looking up really excited because they wanted to be picked. And so I picked the first participant, and she flew off the carpet with eager expectation and excitement, just frenzied. You know how they just shiver when they're excited. And then one little girl of the 20 that were remaining on the carpet, I'm 20 that were remaining, just threw herself into spasms of anguish and loud wailings of despair because she thought she was not going to get picked ever. And I just looked at her, just kind of, and all her classmates just looked at her like, and then I continued picking. So what happened there? Had we seen this behavior in her before? Did we know how she responds to having her hopes dashed? Do you know anyone like her? Do you know me? Unfortunately, my own children, Emily, Francis, and William, know someone like her. And they look at their mother with nonchalance every time they see me freak out that my hopes over something or dash. The garage door is broken, and I don't even know where the mortgage is going to come from, so I just scream. My son William usually gets off work at 10:45 at night, and it's 10:55? He must be dead. I can't find my car keys, and I think someone broke in my house and stole them, and I'm never going to get to drive that car again ever, and I don't think I can bear that. And I freak out. Or Netflix doesn't work tonight. I don't think Netflix will ever work again, and that is really then my life is really over. Tom Beswick gave us this in his Sunday school class on Pilgrim's Progress. The unregenerate mind always underestimates the difficulties and obstacles of pilgrimage. One of the characters, Pliable, illustrates that when things get hard, all people return to what they truly value. And therefore, we need to feed our hope and trust in God and make Him what we value and not value the replacements for Him. If the unregenerate heart only hears of the glories of heaven, it will never comprehend how great a salvation is offered. That is why John 16:33 doesn't say that we might have suffering in this world, but that it is going to happen. So, what is hope, and who has hope, and who doesn't? By the way, I hope you love these. I have had these forever, and I decided to use all of them. How do we get hope? Because we all want it. Because we talk about faith and hope, and it can be hard. Because it seems like everywhere we go, faith and hope are used as meaningless buzzwords, conversation fillers, and metaphorical security blankets. I was listening to the news about the flooding in the Philippines, remember, a few months back, and there was no shelter. I was watching, you know, the footage. There was no shelter left for them to return to and get warm and dry. They were not wearing raincoats or head coverings. And I felt really sorry for they were constantly shivering, and I knew it would go on for days and days. And I knew that there would just be hopelessness that things would be over soon or ever be back to what they were used to before. And the voice of the female newscaster was, you know, as usual, really kind of removed, dispassionate, you know, and businesslike. And she was just talking about it, and then about the hardships and the misery. And then just all of a sudden she said, but at least they still have their faith. And then she went to commercial, and that was it. And I just stood there, and I think I thought, this is the stupidest of women. I really just couldn't believe. And I remember that this huge subject of hope in an omnipotent God was one that I was going to be an assignment for me for a lecture, that false hope is the greatest enemy of hope seekers. So what is real hope? Are there different kinds of hope? No. There is not a your hope and a my kind of hope. Some people appear to be content with looking for hope over and over again, as if it was just temporary or a tool that could be used just one thing at a time for one use and then another one for another use. Tools to help us find something within us to cope with. Well, we cannot go into Sherlock's mind palace, all you Sherlock fans. We cannot muster it up like Pollyanna did either. It's not positive thinking, and you don't just have to have a good feeling about something. We'll call that hope. Camille Austin put this A.W. Tozer quote on Facebook just a few days ago. I do not recall another period when faith was as popular as it is today. If only we believe hard enough, we will make it somehow. So goes the popular chant. What you believe is not important. Only believe. What is overlooked in all this is that faith is good only when it engages truth. When it is made to rest upon falsehood, it can and often does lead to eternal tragedy. For it is not enough that we believe. We must believe the right thing about the right one. So why hope in something imaginary rather than in God? Habakkuk says, "What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it? For a maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions idols." I love this where it says, this one. And I love this. "And that is your teacher? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it, but the Lord in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." The Lord in his holy temple. Having an increasing knowledge of God's word is essential to thinking correctly and biblically about your circumstances. If you are a believer, God will give you his hope through the power of his spirit and use his word to change your life by transforming your thoughts. And as your thoughts are transformed, your feelings will come in line with reality. And the reality for a believer is hope. Earlier in this study, Sandy Boyer gave a lecture that included the names of God and how they all represent the facets of what we call hope, the facets of his character. And it was really rich in truth. I listened to it at home, but I think I could just do my whole lecture repeating what Sandy's lecture was, because it's just, to me, such a wrap-up. Hope is an omnipotent God. God is able to do all his holy will. I think all this is from Sandy's lecture. God will not and cannot do anything that denies his own character. God cannot offer you hope in things that deny his character. God cannot be tempted by evil. He cannot act in any way that is inconsistent with his character. Psalm 46 says that he does powerful and awful things, things that we pray against, floods, fires, death, disease. We must know that he is not limited by space or time, but that he is limited by his own will and by his own character. So how do we, small, frail humans, receive the hope we need from an omnipotent God? We have to want his will. We have to know the character of the one who can provide true hope. And we need to come to know what true hope is. God is present all the time and everywhere. God is omnipotent, and therefore we have hope. Hope is to sacrifice your rationalizations and to sacrifice your intuitions, and instead rely upon God's character in the future and in the past and in the present. I think that's really something people who rely on false hope don't understand. There's not just hope for the present. Omnipotent? Do you imagine that he is too weak or too limited by space or time or power to save you in trouble? The truth is, your hope comes in him, and it is there for his children. The reality of it all is not if he will come to rescue us, but whether or not we will know all the time that he is doing it always for us. This is an illustration from my favorite book by my favorite author. And I raised myself on his biblical pictures of God's character. Those are the words that I first read as a fourth grader when I began to consider what seemed to be two personalities of God: the protective, gentle God and a wild and destructive God. In the book, the North Wind befriends a small little boy named Diamond. The child meets her in many different forms, sometimes the tiny thing that blows open a flower to help a little insect to escape, and sometimes a wild and destructive huge woman who sinks ships. Here in her fierce form, she has just reached down to get him out of his warm bed and take him with her on an errand of hers. There is a conversation between them as she goes to sink a ship with one arm while she holds the child lovingly with the other arm. And Diamond asks her how she can do such a thing. Isn't it out of her character when she is always so good to him? And he has seen her do such protective things. She explains that she is the same at all times. It is just that he does not know how huge her character is, how she is always doing good. That he's an odd little child. The author, George MacDonald, wrote in the 1800s. And I love, it's a very famous book, actually, and most people don't know it today, but there's so many Pre-Raphaelite artists that attempted to illustrate them that you can find gorgeous illustrations of it. God cannot go against his character, so everything he gives us is good. It is true. It is not true only if we are good and if we deserve it. It is true because he is good and always good. Not us. God is our hope. So that was my reading rainbow moment. I miss reading my rainbow. Here are some verses for when you're looking for hope and when your life is in shreds. Yes, in shreds, not talking about when you lose your car keys. I'm talking about when your son has cancer. Talking about when your husband leaves you. When your mother dies. When you lose your home. When you're addicted to alcohol or drugs. When you hate your life. When you're friendless and alone. And then there is one that I've learned to pray when I see that begging for specific things is not lightening my heart. But I pray that I will notice each day his very, very certain provision. In fact, that was my New Year's resolution this year. And this is the one I chose as a New Year's resolution. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. In Psalm 46, the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the no wonder I couldn't fit that one in there like I was hoping. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and exist. In 1 Chronicles, both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord is your God. And he is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. In Psalm 139, this is the one that Sheila Pennington sang Coram Deo to. I don't know how many of you remember. She's done it twice, gotten up in the sanctuary and sang a song called Coram Deo to the words of this song. And she burned me a CD once when I was going through something really hard. And I couldn't pray. And I would just listen to it in my car, and I sang it and sang it and sang it and tried really hard to make my voice sound like Sheila's. And it did sound just like it, too. But you can go on YouTube, actually, and hear a version that uses the exact same music that she used it. Of course, it's not Sheila's voice, but it's a beautiful song. You should hear it if you can't get a personal CD from her like I could. So, Because she loves me more than y'all do. Sheila taught on this once, to put things in words in biblical terms. It helps you to have hope to do that. When you use words to describe your thoughts and your feelings that aren't biblical, it's easy to lose touch with true hope. Beverly touched on it in her lecture a few months back. This reminds you of what is truth and what it's just lies. Remembering truth helps you to see the context of what is happening to you. When we know God and who He is and what He does and what He promises, we can do for ourselves what David does. We can talk to ourselves and remember what we know. That's how you grow wise. Psalm 42, why art thou cast down on my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? So what is hope? From Genesis to Revelation, hope is in who God is. So one day, I was driving with William from Texas to Nashville to help my daughter move into our house there. On the way, we got a phone call from my husband telling us that he had just lost his job. He was supposed to go with us to move, and his boss had told him, no, I have something I need you to do Monday morning, and that's really important. And what it was he was going to show up, fly to Texas, and show up and tell him he was laid off. Oh, you know how I reacted to a garage door not opening. You know how I reacted to Netflix. Such a big reaction did I give then in front of my son. I did scream. Truly, I did. He will never get a job again. I hyperventilated and almost ran us off the road, and it went on for a long time. I called a friend, and my son witnessed it all. Does this remind you of the first grader who threw herself on the floor in despair that her hopes of being picked were dashed? Have I spent my whole life throwing tantrums that my Heavenly Father does not give me what I want, so I know that this is going to be bad? Do I think somewhere deep inside that I can manipulate Him to give me what I want here and now? And does God react as nonchalantly as I did to that girl? No. He doesn't. Because unlike me, who only saw that child's tantrum, God knows everything that played into it. He knows all my life that built up to it. My children don't know, and that's why they look at me so nonchalantly, and it does make me laugh, and they did choose this video. They said it reminds them of me, and I had to agree, so. But He's compassionate about my fears, and He doesn't treat me nonchalantly, but He will make me wait for my turn. He wants me to understand real hope, bright hope, in an omnipotent God. So, lift up your face unto the Lord and know that He is good. In actuality, it's been 5 years, and we are still waiting for an income. So this perfect father of mine has not taken away the reality of my fear, but has taught me that fear is a bigger problem to Him than a loss of income. He has taught me to be calmer and calmer as the months have gone forward. Just not when I'm standing up in front of people. He knows He cares more. I know that He cares more about me than changing that screaming, faceless child into a woman with faithful responses and preventing the thing I feared from happening. Someone in my discussion group shared Psalm 112:7. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Memorize it. You have no fear of bad news. And I know that all of y'all are getting bad news yourself. And maybe you got some just this week that's just unbearable. And maybe you screamed. A man in our church who is always a particular example of godliness said to my husband, God has not shown his confidence in me in this way that he has given you. My husband was very touched by these words. Most people after a long period of unemployment receive the kind of comments that Job received from his friends. Repent of your sins. There must be something up. God took me where I did not intend to go, like our Lord's prophecy for the end of Peter's life. I'll tell you the truth. When you were young, you tied your own belt and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will put out your hands and another person will tie you. That person will lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to show how Peter would die to give glory to God. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." God has taken me many times in my life where I did not want to go. He has done it to achieve in me what I am not powerful enough to achieve for myself. It has been 4.5 years since that godly man said that to my husband, and in the years since, God has given him also the very circumstances that he feared the most. Frightful things, too. Places we never want to go. He went and experienced God's faithfulness. You will go too. And it will be worth going anywhere God wants you to go for his purposes for you. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this study on hope. There are no other roads that lead to hope, for you are the only true hope. We pray that we would diligently spend the time it takes to focus on your words and your character so that we can more and more often remember our great hope in you, and others would witness us lifting our face in trust of you, faithfully waiting for the fulfillment of all your glorious promises.